Chapter 18. Young Dinny the Mole knocked upon Bella's study door with his heavy digging claw.
Hello? Who is it?
Gomp's voice rang out from within.
It be young Din. Miss Goody sent o' you with these here vittles for ye.
Martin opened the door and admitted the mole, balancing a tray of food. Young Dinny blinked. The inside of the study was a mass of dust, scrolls, open drawers, and general confusion. As Bella took the tray from the mole, Gomp leaped upon him from the desktop. They rolled about together on the floor, wrestling and hugging each other at the same time. Gomp laughed joyfully.
Young Din, where have you been keeping yourself, me old digging mate?
Dinny gained the upper paw and sat on Gomp.
Where have you been, Sir Gompin? You're my getting fatter.
Gomp introduced his mole friend to Martin, while struggling to heave Dinny off.
Matey, this is young Dinny, the strongest mole in Mossflower.
The young mole allowed Gomp to get up. He smiled modestly as he shook paws with Martin.
Nah, I bain't the strongest. My old grandfather Dinny, he be the mightiest mole in these year parts, even though he's seen many summers. I be honoured to meet ye, Martin.
Martin took an instant liking to the friendly mole. They sat and shared the food while Bella explained the nature of the search. Dinny gazed around at the masses of dusty scrolls littering the room.
I'd best lend a poor old winner'll be upon us afore he finds out.
The search was proving long and fruitless. Cupboards were turned out, the desk was emptied, shelves were scoured without success. The bulk of the scrolls were mainly old Brockhall records. Some were Bella's recipes, others dealt with woodland lore. None of them filed in any system. Bella brushed dust from her coat and sighed.
Oh, I'm afraid it's all a bit higgledy-piggledy. I've been meaning to put them in order for some seasons now, but I never had time to get round to it.
Martin banged his paw on the desktop in frustration.
If only we knew Oof!
A secret drawer shot out from the desk, catching the warrior mouse heavily in his stomach. He sat down, surprised and winded. Bella took the single yellow parchment from the drawer and read its contents aloud.
To the mountain of fire where badgers go, the path is fraught with danger. The way is long and hard and slow, through foe and hostile stranger. The warrior's heart must never fail or falter on his quest. Those who live to tell the tale first must turn the crest.
Gomp looked bemused.
Is that all?
Martin took the parchment and scanned it carefully on both sides.
Yes, that seems to be it.
Bella sat in her chair with an air of resignation.
Well, there doesn't appear to be much to go on.
Dinny tapped the parchment with his digging claws.
It'd be a start, though. This year's a clue, mayhaps.
Martin brightened up.
Of course. It tells us how to start. Look, those who live to tell the tale first must turn the crest. Bella, you would know. What does it mean by turn the crest?
The badger pondered a while.
I think it refers to the Brockhall shield. That's the badger family crest. It takes the form of a shield with a great oak of Brockhall on one half and the stripes of a badger on the other. Beneath it is a scroll bearing our family motto, to serve at home or afar.
But where is this crest and how do we turn it?
Gone fast, scratching his whiskers. Bella stood up.
I know of at least two places where it may be seen. The first is on the door knocker of Brockhall, and the second over the hearth in the main hall. Come on, let's try them both.
The four friends trooped out to the front door, where Bella seized the rusty iron door knocker and twisted it sharply. The old metal snapped under the considerable strength of the badger, who stood holding it in her paw with a slightly guilty expression.
Oops, I think I've broken it.
Young Dinny shrugged.
Never mind, Miss Bell. My grandfather'll fix it for ye. Where's t'otherin?
The crest over the hearth was carved into the top lintel of the wide fireplace. Martin turned to Bella.
I think I'd better try this one. My paws aren't as heavy as yours. Could you lift me up there, please?
Bella obliged by picking the warrior mouse up as if he were a feather and placing him on the broad lintel. Martin leaned over, gripping the protruding crest that had been carved on the fire-blackened oak root beam. He tried turning it without success. Gomp climbed nimbly up beside him.
Here, matey, let me try. Maybe you haven't got the magic touch.
From his pouch, the mouse thief drew a piece of cheese and rubbed it around the edges of the crest.
Give it a moment for the grease to work its way into the cracks. It shouldn't take long. This mantle's quite warm from the fire.
Gomp's talents had not been wasted. After a short interval, he wiped his paws upon his jerkin and gave the crest a skilful twist. It moved.
Here, matey, lend a paw. Jiggle it from side to side with me like this. Pull outwards as you do.
Martin assisted Gonf. The entire crest started to move outward. Bella stood ready to catch the hollow wooden cylinder. It dropped into her waiting paws. Martin and Gonf eagerly clambered down from the lintel. Dinny danced about excitedly.
Grr, do worry, Miss Bell. Is it the map of Summerlandersturm?
The badger looked gravely at the young mole.
Haste will only put us on the wrong track, Dinny. Let us take each step carefully.
Bella upended the cylinder and peered into its open end.
Here, Gonf, there's a scroll inside. Your paws are a lot more nimble than mine. See if you can get it out without damaging it.
The clever mouse thief had the parchment out and opened in a twinkling. They studied the writing. It was a bold and heavy old-fashioned style. Bella smiled.
The paw of my grandsire, old Lord Brocktree, did this. You must understand that only male badgers went to Salamanderstrom. Each one left clues for his son to follow. This was written for my father Boar to solve. Unfortunately, Boar had no son to leave a map for. So, after he had solved Lord Brocktree's riddles, he carefully replaced everything, in the hope that one day another young son of our house would find them.
Bella sniffed and looked away.
Alas, maybe my little one Sunstripe might have followed these clues, had he been here today.
Young Dinny rubbed the back of his velvety paw against Bella's coat.
Don't fret yourself, Miss Bell. Us'n's find it for ye.
Martin had been toying with the wooden cylinder. He shook it and tapped the sides. Some leaves fell out.
Look, Bella. What do you suppose this means?
The badger shrugged.
They're just old leaves. Let's see what the parchment says. Boar is badger, named after wood. Not after forest, but trees. Where did you play on a rainy day? Where did I eat bread and cheese? Search inside, stay indoors. Look up and find the secret is yours. Your castle, your fort, or so you thought. The way is in four trees. The way is in Boar in Brockhall, under ale, under bread, under cheese.
Martin leaned back against the fireplace.
Phew! That's a right old riddle and no mistake.
Back in Bella's study, they sat pondering the evidence. A long time passed, and still they could not even begin to unravel the complicated thread of the poem. Gonf was becoming disgruntled. He lay on the floor, drumming his paws against the armchair.
Huh! Woods and trees and bread and cheese, rainy days and castles and forts. What a load of old twaddle!
Dinny had commandeered the armchair again. He sat back with his eyes closed lightly as if taking a nap.
Keep ye poor still, Gonfin, or ye be a-thinking.
Bella pursed her lips and crinkled her brow.
Boar is badger named after wood. I never knew my father was named after a wood.
Gonf rolled over onto his back.
If he was named after the wood, he'd be called Moss Boar or Boar Flower or Moss Boar Flower.
Martin silenced the mouse thief with a stern look.
Please, Gonf. We're supposed to be solving the riddle, not fooling about. The second line tells you that Boar is not named after the forest, but after the trees.
I bain't never heard of no boar trees, nor I spect as my grandfer.
Dinny chuckled. Bella agreed.
Neither have I. There's elm and birch and sycamore and all kinds of trees, but no boar tree. I wonder if it's an old nickname for some type of tree.
Gonf sat up.
Say that again, Bella.
The badger looked at him, puzzled.
What? You mean about boar being a nickname for some kind of tree?
No, I think I see what Gonf means.
Martin interrupted.
You said there were all kinds of trees, like elm, birch, sycamore, and so on. Dinny, where do you think you're off to? I thought you were helping us to solve this riddle.
The young mole trundled out of the study, calling over his shoulder.
Brr, that be exactly what I'm doing. Going to get the old leaves what you'm founding for.
Of course, the leaves!
Gonf leapfrogged over Dinny's back before he was out at the door. Dashing back into the main hall, he scrabbled about, collecting the leaves, while Dinny followed up, berating him.
Yer, that be my ideas of Gonfin, ye girt mouse bag!
They brought the leaves back to the study between them. All four looked at the dried, withered specimens despondently.
They're only dead leaves, many seasons old. But what are they supposed to mean?
Bella touched them lightly with her paw.
Well, let's see. There's four leaves here, an ash, an oak, a rowan and a beech. There's nothing written or sketched on them. What do you make of it, Martin?
The warrior mouse inspected the leaves. He arranged them in patterns, turned them over and rearranged them, shaking his head.
I don't know. Ash, beech, rowan, oak. Rowan, oak, beech, ash. Search me.
Gomph smiled in a highly superior way.
Listen, matey, it's a good job I'm a prince of leaf puzzle solvers. Try this. Beech, oak, ash, rowan.
Is this another one of your jokes, Gomph?
Bella asked, eyeing him sternly. Gomph placed the leaves in order, still smiling.
If it is a joke, then it's a very clever one, you'll admit. Beech, oak, ash and rowan, in that order. Can't you see? It's the first letter of each one. B, then O, then A, then R, spells boar.
Bella shook his paw warmly.
You're right. Boar is badger, named after wood. And look at this line lower down. The way is in four trees.
Dinny clapped his paws together with excitement.
Oh, joy! Now we'm a-getting somewheres. Right, thinking carps on.
Yes, look at this line. Search inside, stay indoors. At least we know the map is somewhere in Brocco. We don't have to go out scouring the woods.
But we're indoors.
We're boar playing on rainy days.
Boar the fighter playing?
Oh, aye. He must have played when he'm a little un.
Good thinking, Din.
Now, where did I eat bread and cheese? Do you think that'd be Boar having his lunch?
Nay, that'd be thy gram for Miss Bell.
Of course. Boar was very close to old Lord Brocktree. It's quite probable he'd be playing around near him while Brocktree was eating.
Aye, but there's the difficult bit. Your castle, your fort. Where's there a castle or a fort inside Brock Hall?
No, no, look at the next line. Or so you thought. Didn't you ever play make-believe with something when you were little?
Ha-ha, I still do, matey.
We know that, sir. Come on, Miss Bell. Show us where Boar did play when he were a little un.
They wandered haphazardly from room to room. Every so often, Bella would stop, look about and shake her head, muttering.
I'm not too sure. My father never talked too much about playing when he was little. Besides, I wasn't even born then.
Martin paused between the passage and the main hall.
Then think for a minute. Did your father ever say where Lord Brocktree went to eat his bread and cheese?
Not really. I expect he ate it at the table like any civilised creature would do indoors.
The table!
They hurried into the main hall to where the huge dining table stood. Gomph wrapped it with his claws.
Well, a good start, table. Looks like it's made from elmwood. What do we do now?
Bella had a faraway look in her eyes.
Wait. I remember now. Lord Brocktree was a crusty old soul. I recall my father telling me that he refused to eat at this big table. Said he needed a spear to reach for things from the other end. So one day he made a table of his own. Just big enough for him to sit at, and handy, so that his bread and cheese and ale were all close to paw. It's out in the kitchen. Grandfather loved the heat from the oven. Besides, he used to dip his bread into any pans of sauce that were cooking. He liked it out there.
Standing in the kitchen was the very table Bella had told them about. Gomph climbed on top of it and stood looking upward.
Doesn't make sense, matey. All I can see is the ceiling. The riddle says, look up and find the secret is yours.
Bella sat in the chair, spreading her paws across the table.
This is it. The answer is in this table somewhere. Look, my grandfather made it from beech, oak, ash and trimmed it with rowan wood. Do you know, I can picture my father sitting at this table, just as his father did before him, eating bread and cheese and drinking October ale.
Martin had not spoken. He was staring at Bella as she sat at the table. It came to him like a flash.
While you played underneath it, it probably had a tablecloth on it then.
Bella smiled at fond memories.
Yes, a big white one. I would pretend it was my tent.
The warrior mouse scrambled underneath the table.
Not Boar the fighter, though. He'd probably pretend it was a fort or a castle. Ah, here's an odd thing. Underneath here is covered with a few pieces of chestnut bark. Pass me a knife, Gomph.
Martin worked away underneath the table, cutting the chestnut bark and tossing it out. The other three inspected each piece of bark for clues without success. Dinny sniffed it and raked it with his claws.
Oh, foozlem! There bain't nothing here!
There's something here, though. It's the map!
Martin's voice could not conceal his delight. He came tumbling out with a pale bark scroll in his paws.
It was laid between the bark and the table. Look, it's covered with strange writing.
Bella took the scroll.
Ho-ho, this is ancient badger script. Right, back to my study. I'll have to translate it. Thank you, my friends. This is the route to Salamandastron. Once we've solved it, you're on your way.